The University of Kansas Health System is proud to be the official healthcare provider of the Kansas City Current. From youth athletes to the pros, we put player care first to turn their dreams into reality. Learn more at kansashealthsystem.com/KCCurrent.
Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Our next guest is brought to you by El Bandido Yankee Tequila, and I'm talking about Bill Moss, who joins us every Monday to talk football. Bill, good morning. How are you?
I'm good, Stephen St. John. How are you?
You know what? I'm doing all right. That Super Bowl last night cleansed my palate, so I'm ready for the offseason now. Who would have received your Super Bowl MVP vote, Cooper Kupp or Aaron Donald?
Wow. Yeah. I mean, yeah, right? That's a great question. Cooper Kupp, to me, was the MVP of the game. I mean, my allegiance goes to Pittsburgh, University of Pittsburgh, with Aaron Donald. But the game I watched last night, it was clear cut who was the MVP, and that was Cooper Kupp. Especially, you know, everybody in the free world knew about his records, his season, what was expected of him in this game. And he went out and produced. You know, and that normally doesn't happen. You know, if you got a guy that's the guy, you try to take away that guy. And they didn't have an answer for him, which, to me, that was unbelievable.
Yeah, I mean, that was – I'm right there with you, Bill, because not only did everybody knew everything that Cooper Kupp could do coming into the game, by the end of the game, everybody knew that he was the only weapon that the Rams had left. They couldn't run the ball at all, and the other two best pass-catching targets were out. So I don't know. I was a little stunned that the Bengals weren't able to lock him down a little bit more on that last drive, but I saw Stafford said after the game, hey, I just decided it doesn't matter who's covering him or how many guys. I'm just going to throw it to him anyway. But if you could do that with somebody, that's next-level stuff, isn't it?
I think so. I go back, everybody in the free world knew about Cooper Kupp, right? Going into the game, you know about him. All season long, you know about him. And he's the guy. And if they're going to have a chance, if the Rams are going to have a chance, I mean, he was going to be a factor. You'd think you would take him out of the equation and try to beat us with something else, but they didn't have an answer for him.
And they didn't have an answer for Aaron Donald, especially on that final drive. They had a second and one and could not get one more yard in the next three plays, and that fourth down play was blown up by Aaron Donald. And looking at the play now, Ja'Marr Chase had a step on his defender, and that could have been a big play, and who knows, maybe even a game-winning play. But Aaron Donald did not allow it, and we've talked about him being the best defensive player in football. That was the matchup that this offensive line simply would not be able to overcome. And along with Von Miller and the rest of that defensive front, it was too much for Cincinnati. But Aaron Donald, boy, he lived. That's another guy that lived up to the billing as being the best defensive player in football.
Yeah, I mean, you know, sometimes as a defensive lineman, sometimes you know you can be, you know, a non-factor on a play, and he had certainly a number of plays where, you know, he was kind of a non-factor, but. When he had to make plays and the team needed him to make plays, he answered the bell. And that's hard to do. You know, when it comes time, like, I got to get this one. It's hard to do. You might think it, I got to get this one, but you're not always going to get this one. And he proved differently. So he's a rare kind of athlete. His explosiveness, I mean, as fast as he is, he's not real tall. You know, he plays a leverage game. He gets underneath people, and he splits double team blocks like somebody, you know, I really haven't seen before. I mean, he's rare to play that position.
So we had to hear for the last 2 weeks about the Chiefs' offense falling apart in the second half, not making adjustments, not scoring enough points,
and that. Did you hear Kelsey yesterday?
Which part?
Yeah, exactly what you're talking about. I thought that was kind of revealing that, you know, he talked about Cincinnati making in-game adjustments and that the Chiefs couldn't keep up with. I thought that was really kind of telltale. That was interesting, his comments.
Where did he make these comments?
He was on ESPN, the pregame show.
Right.
Yeah, you got to look that one up, Steve. He was saying, you know, Cincinnati, he's like, hats off to them. Their defensive coordinator made, you know, in-game adjustments at halftime that we couldn't keep up with. And we went to the sidelines and told them that they're doing this, and we didn't make any adjustments. It was kind of, yeah.
Okay.
It was an eye-opener.
We're going to get back to that because we were talking about Eric Bieniemy. And I saw someone tweet out the comments, but I didn't see the actual interview. And so Jake's going to chase that down. But the Bengals, so we had to hear all about that for the last 2 weeks. After that, what could be called a questionable touchdown to start the second half, because it should have been something, right? I mean, T. Higgins grabbed the face mask of Jalen Ramsey and he went down. Something should have been called. But after that touchdown, the Bengals had 6 drives in the second half after that initial touchdown. 6 drives for a total of 61 yards.
Yeah.
And it wasn't all Aaron Donald. So what happened to the Bengals, 6 drives for 61 yards after scoring their final touchdown?
You know, I think the big part of the equation is the run game for them. You know, the run game with Mixon gave them a good balance. And when you have a good balance defensively, it's hard to jump on anything. You know, it's hard to get the edge if you have a good balance. And I think they lost that in the second half, and they were forced to try to throw the ball a lot more. I noticed their runs in the second half were just hitting the line of scrimmage, and that was pretty much it. And the Rams defense really stepped up on that. So when you get out of that balance, which Cincinnati really relies on, I think that was the difference.
Hey, before we get back to the Chiefs offensive coordinator talk, one other thought on the game, Bill. I'm curious what you thought. It sure seemed like the officials, well, I mean, statistically, it bared out. They kind of swallowed the whistles for the first 3 quarters of the game. I think there were 4 flags in the first 3 quarters, and then there were 4 flags on that last drive by the Rams. What did you think of the officiating overall?
You know, that's funny you bring that up, because I was watching the game very closely, and I'm like, wow, they're letting them play. I mean, they're not flag happy. They're letting them do whatever they want to do out there. There was a bunch of calls I thought could have been made on both ways, but they weren't throwing the flag. So I thought that was interesting. And then, you know, at the end of the game, it got a little flag happy, I would say. But, you know, I try not to look into that, being that it was the home team in Los Angeles. You know, same kind of thing that happened in Tampa last year. But, yeah, that was funny.
Okay, so let's get into Eric Bieniemy, because we've talked about this quite a bit so far on the show. And last week we talked about Tom Pelissero and his tweet that Eric Bieniemy's contract was expiring. And so we thought that was interesting, and it just seems like that's something that came from Eric Bieniemy's camp. And so then yesterday morning, before the Super Bowl, Adam Schefter had an article about Eric Bieniemy and a meeting that he's going to have with Andy Reid to determine his future in Kansas City. And so that caught the eye of quite a few people. Because again, this isn't something. I mean, he's had his contract expire before, and there hasn't been this much news about it. And obviously, leaks to you know, national reporters that cover the NFL. So it is. I mean, it is a story. And so I'll read you an excerpt from Adam Schefter's comments, and this is Adam Schefter's words here. He said, "There's no assurances that Bieniemy will return. He has considered coaching in college, listening to other offers, or even taking off a year after a physically and mentally draining season in which the Chiefs fell one game short of the Super Bowl and Bieniemy was bypassed in the head coach hiring cycle. Bieniemy's next meeting with Reid is likely to determine whether he will return or whether the Chiefs' offensive coaching staff will need an overhaul." And so what do you take away from this this article that Adam Schefter posted yesterday morning?
Well, I think Adam is expressing exactly what he was told. And on the other side, I think that that meeting that's going to happen is going to tell Eric Bieniemy, tell your agent to shut the hell up. I mean, enough is enough. You want to be here or don't you? Because this is just a game that's played amongst agents, putting whatever feelers out there and whatever offers may come. The fact of the matter is, really, is that head coaching job deal is that ship has sailed, okay? It's no longer. And that's the bottom line. Look, 3 years ago, every time the season ended, we were talking about Dave Tobe, too, right? No, that ship has sailed. It is what it is, and go do your job. Get as much money as you can out of it, and go be as good as you can out of it. But that's the reality.
So when you say that ship has sailed, for both Tobe and Bieniemy, like, that's, like, for this year's hiring cycle or just in general? Like, they're not going to become head coaches?
Yeah, they're not going to become head coaches. Maybe at a different level, but for whatever reason, you don't have that many opportunities and have the door closed on you. If it's going to happen, right? It's at some point in time, what you're selling gets stale, and that's the nuts and bolts of it. I mean, you know, we're all big boys here. It's just that's what it is.
And so, do you think the Chiefs? You think the Chiefs want him back?
Yeah, I do. I think EB brings a lot to the table as far as the guy that's going to be in your face every single day, the guy you're going to have to answer to, the guy that when something happens and you blew an assignment or fumbled or whatever it is, it's accountability. He's the guy that does that. Nobody else does. He does. And there's a value to that. I mean, he's been the same kind of coach as he was a player. I mean, he's the same guy. And football needs that. I mean, you need that. We all need it. It's discipline. And he is that guy. And so, you know, the X's and O's and all that stuff drawn up, that's a group effort based on defensive schemes and what they coverages and so on and so forth. Personnel, I mean, that's a collective deal. But the guy that's going to be in your grill all the time that you don't want to be around, that's him. And he holds everybody accountable. I think he's got a great value. I think he's a great coach.
So when you say, like, if they sit down and have this meeting and it's, hey, have your agent shut the hell up. Do you think?
I mean,
this...
I'm just saying that because isn't this what this is all about? I mean, we've heard this for how long now? You know?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, that's what it all comes down to. People leaking whatever they want to. I mean, just like the Harbaugh deal. I mean, come on. I mean, he took a pay cut last year, right? And then all these coaching jobs are opened up, and he's calling around people to try to get interviews, and his agent's laying all these quotes out there and to the Adam Schefters of the world, but nothing came of it.
Bill Mosler, I guess, right, Bill, let's listen to those comments that you referenced from Travis Kelce so everyone else can hear what he said as he was in an analyst on Countdown on ESPN yesterday. Yeah. He's been all over the place. What's that?
Let me know what you think.
Okay, let's hear Travis Kelce, play that, Jake.
Facing them twice and losing in the second half, the first to second half adjustments are everything for them. And that's great coaching. That's great attention to detail as players. And it's just making plays when plays need to be made in the biggest moments. And that's where we lost the game. We didn't, as players, we didn't make those plays in the second half. And Joey B's got those guys with, like, horse blinders. They're not looking behind. They're not looking sideways. They're looking to how they can attack the next play. And that's special. And when you got a group of guys that can believe in that and know that, you know, even though we didn't didn't have a great first half, that second half is a whole new game. They're dangerous. They're a dangerous team.
So let's talk about defensive coordinator Lou Anarumo, because the adjustments that you're talking about that he made were critical in getting that victory against you. When you see these on the field, and do you think this is like the main strength of the Bengals defense?
It's attention to detail, and it's a big, big job for Sean McVay. I mean, you saw the defensive adjustments in the second half. He has to have another plan. He also has to have another game plan, an entire different way to attack this defense in the second half, knowing that they're going to have indicators and have an idea how to stop them from what they've shown.
Like during the second half, and you're in that play, were you guys coming to the sideline saying, hey, yeah, that was a little bit different there. We got to make adjustments now, too.
Without a doubt. And that was something Coach Reed and Coach Eric Bieniemy made a big harp on. How are we going to react to what they're going to do in the second half? We have to be able to run the ball when they know we're running the ball.
Okay.
That first half, you only have a certain amount of game plan plays. Those first and second down runs, we weren't getting the yards that we were getting in the first half. And that's something that we have to do, knowing that that defense was getting great indicators and their coaches were giving the players a chance.
So what stands out to you about that, Bill?
I that they, you know, they knew that Cincinnati had different game plans for them and would make changes and adjustments. We talk about running the football. I don't remember them really running the football in the second half. Do you?
Right.
That's exactly what went through my mind.
I thought they should have ran the football more.
Yeah.
I don't remember a whole lot of first and second downs when they're running it.
No, I don't either. And so, yeah. So I thought those things that he said were very telling of, you know, what transpired there in the second half.
Okay, so he said something about Joey B having those guys on blinders, focused, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
Okay, so we've heard the accusations from Eli Apple that after dancing in the first half, Chiefs players were arguing with each other in the second half. We know, we saw that Mecole Hardman and Tyreek Hill were shouting at each other. Mm-hmm. There's been, I think it was, who's the gambling guy? Brandon Lang, I saw him on Radio Row saying that he had someone, a source, tell him that there was some shouting involving Eric Bieniemy because Bieniemy was pissed off that the Chiefs didn't kick the field goal. And that he wanted to go kick the field goal, and he was, you know, vetoed by Andy Reid and Mahomes because they wanted one more shot in the end zone,
mm-hmm.
and you could totally see that happening, right?
Yeah,
because mm-hmm. Patrick Mahomes went over to the sideline. I got this. Give me one more shot, and you could, you know, if you're Bieniemy, hey, let's kick the field goal, and then they ignore him, and then that's what happens. Why wouldn't you get pissed off? And I'm telling you, maybe Bieniemy, maybe this is all about him thinking, hey, I haven't been able to get a head coaching position here because no matter what happens, if it goes well, Andy Reid's going to get the credit, Patrick Mahomes going to get the credit. If it goes sideways, I'm going to get the blame. Let me go someplace else maybe and spread my wings to see if I can be successful out of their shadow. Maybe that is the reason for these leaks and these stories out there. But did you take anything away from Kelce saying, oh, he, you know, Joey B had his guys in blinders because, you know, with blinders on, because there has been a lot of talk about some infighting and guys not being on the same page for the Chiefs in that second half?
Yeah, you know, look, I mean, there's a lot of personalities on that team, right? And when you look at the Cincinnati Bengals, you know, they haven't hit stardom yet,
right?
You know, they're not, the spotlight isn't on them, so you don't have a bunch of people clamoring for, you know, a Twinkies commercial. Okay, that's what it comes down to. And you have a bunch of budding stars on the Chiefs team, and when you have that kind of those dynamics, I mean, stuff's going to happen, right? Everybody wants credit, and everybody wants to point blame, and those things, that's you know, that's human nature is what it is, and those things happen. So yeah, there was issues. I mean, look at the week before, you saw Melvin Ingram and Chris Jones yelling at each other on the sidelines and arguing, right? Those things happen when you have a bunch of personalities like that. It's nothing uncommon. You try to, you know, I think that for the most part, Andy Reid has had budding stars a lot of places he's been, and he knows how to he knows how to control them and rein them in and keep them focused. Travis Kelce was talking about Burrows, and if you look at the way he plays and his focus, he does have blinders on, and he has everybody pulling the rope in the same direction with his team.
See, now you got me thinking about Twinkie the Kid, the mascot for Twinkie. Maybe the bandana and the cowboy boots on, out there selling Twinkies.
Skinny legs. He had a lasso.
Yeah.
Still delicious.
I'm hungry for Twinkies now, Bill.
But what you said, isn't that now going to be a challenge for Cincinnati? Because now they're not going to sneak up on anyone. They have the targets on their back. They went to the Super Bowl. More guys are going to get paid. It's going to be different challenges for that ownership and for that coaching staff to try to deal with, as opposed to this magical run where they weren't supposed to get there. Now they go in as one of the favorites next year.
Yeah, you know, I still think they're kind of a team that's under the radar. I know they were just in the Super Bowl yesterday, but as a team, I think everybody kind of looks at them like, they were in the Super Bowl, but, I mean, I think they're a team that will improve, they'll address the offensive line issues, and they've got a great running back, a tight end, three great receivers, a young, hungry quarterback, a defense that, you really don't know anybody, but what they do and how they do it is really impressive. I think they're a team that's going to be tough to reckon with for quite some time.
Yeah, they're young. I mean, I don't know. I'm with you. I think the Bengals are going to be good for a little while. That we were talking about that division, and obviously it's kind of been the Bengals and Ravens division for a long time. How tough do you think that division is going to be for the next few years?
Yeah, I don't know what's going to happen in Pittsburgh. That's going to be a big question. Cleveland, are they still? Is that arrow still pointing up, or is that arrow pointing down now? Is Baker their guy, or they got to go another direction? So yeah, Baltimore's tough, and since he's going to be there, that the other two is going to be interesting to see how that unfolds.
Yeah, and who's going to be the quarterback for Pittsburgh? I mean, there's a lot of movement left. Who's going to be the quarterback in Denver? There's some teams that have good talent everywhere else. They're going to be looking for quarterbacks, and we'll see who's going to be traded. If you had to guess, there's Aaron Rodgers, there's Russell Wilson, there's a few big-name quarterbacks going to be on the move, and we still don't know what the hell is going to happen with Deshaun Watson. If you had to guess, who do you think is going to be the next quarterback in Pittsburgh?
For some reason, I think it's going to be Kenny Pickett.
The Pittsburgh kid,
their practice facilities are in the same building. Steelers are on one side, the Panthers are on the other. They walk out the same practice fields, are all together. Steelers are closer to this building than the Panthers are, but they've got to see this kid for 5 years and watch him mature and grow and how he handles himself. I mean, it wouldn't surprise me at all if they made a move and moved up to try to get him.
Do you think Aaron Rodgers goes back to Green Bay?
Yeah, I do. I do, and I really can't, imagine him anywhere else. I mean, he kind of fits Green Bay, He's just that kind of guy. I can't imagine him anywhere else. I think they're going to do whatever it takes to keep him there, to keep him happy, to get more weapons around him, because four MVPs, that's unprecedented and I think very deserving. Again, this year he had an unbelievable year, and you don't have the talent or enough weapons around him to get him to the ultimate goal, and I it's just kind of wasting time, really.
You think Jimmy Garoppolo is enough to say, if you got a team like the Broncos or the Steelers or a team that is talented like that, enough to turn them into a real contender? I mean, he did go to the Super Bowl with the 49ers and had them in the championship game in another year. Is he enough to move the needle?
I think so. I think especially when you have a team that has a good running game like Denver does and a good defense. I mean, he's kind of that kind of quarterback. and you give them the good running game, it's play action pass. I mean, all those things just become so much more powerful. He's not a guy you just, you know, you let slip through the cracks. I think he's a very serviceable quarterback that can take your team. Obviously, he has. He's taken his team deep into the playoffs.
Bill, thank you so much for the time, man.
Hey, wait. What about the Phoenix Open? You want to talk about some fun stuff?
Were you there? Did you go?
No. Tell me that's not the
greatest. Back-to-back days, though, Bill.
Dude.
Tell me that wasn't the
greatest. That's how golf should always be.
How about this? Is that not going to coincide with Super Bowl week next year and the Super Bowl's in Arizona?
Yeah, I know. That's going to be amazing.
Good
luck. I always thought it was the week before the Super Bowl in the past.
No, it's always been the week.
I'm going to go. I'm going.
Right.
I'll tell you what. I was in Phoenix while it was going on, and everybody that was in Phoenix was there for the Open. Like, anywhere you went, if they saw your driver's license from out of town, oh, you're here for the Open? And Uber prices were through the roof. And some of the guys, some of my buddies went to it, and it just seems I've never really wanted to go to a golf tournament, and I want to go to that one really bad.
We're going to send you next
like,
year.
Like, how about after that hole in 106, if anybody put it like 10 feet away from the cup, they're booing. Because it just wasn't good enough. They wanted another hole in one. It was when they started throwing the water bottles, those $10 water bottles, I thought that was just it was the best scene of golf I've ever seen.
It was crazy.
Man, next week's going to be unbelievable. Out in Arizona next year. I mean, it's going to be crazy. That might be a bucket list. Bill, thanks for the time, man. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having me, guys. I always love it.
That's Bill Maas, who joins us every Monday right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB.